You can turn to Psalm 85. I know you've heard that psalm somewhere before. I got such a blessing out of Psalm 85 in our revival that I put it on my computer and printed it out as big a print as I could get on a page, so the whole thing fit on a page, and I could actually read it without my glasses. And I laid it down in my house and moved it several places, and since the revival in August, I've been reading that almost every day, sometimes several times. I'm still getting a blessing from it. Now, I want to read the first 7 verses. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Praise the Lord. When it says Selah, just say, praise the Lord. You'll get a blessing. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to us. We are a sinful and a foolish people. And, oh, God, we need your help. And I pray you'd help me this day as I open your word, and all the Sunday school teachers. I pray you'd help the preaching in the second hour. And I pray, God, you'd help this church. We need your help. And I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you notice the thou hast. Like I said, I read a bunch of commentators on it, and I had one guy that just gave me such a pithy little statement that I just can't get it out of my mind. 6 thou hast before the first turn. That doesn't mean anything to you, does it? Sick, boy, it meant something to me. 6 thou hast before the first turn. And I went back and looked at that psalm, and I said, wow. Wow. You know what they said? Thou hast delivered, they've been favorable to the land. Thou hast delivered them out of captivity. Thou hast forgiven their sins. Thou hast. Now let me ask you, you got any thou hast in your life? I do. Oh, I got some thou hast. What can I thank God for today? He let me be born in America. Number one. He let me be born into a Christian family where I was raised on the Bible, whether I really believed it or not, or whether I'd really accepted it or not, I was raised on the Bible. There were Bibles in my home. I was sent to Sunday school. I memorized the Beatitudes and the 23rd Psalm and stuff like that. Just as a kid, you might say it didn't do me any good, but oh, it was back there. It was back there. I made a couple of professions of faith, and I was baptized. I was baptized in the Methodist Church. They sprinkled my head one day. And then I married Verlene. And I didn't think there was much difference between Methodist and Baptist, up a little water. So they said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. You follow the Lord, confess the Lord, and follow the Baptist? Yes, I will. And I got in the water, a sinner, and rose up a sinner. At about 21 years old, I came across a revived church. They're unusual. They're very unusual. I've had the fortune in all my years to be in about 6 of those. But they last for 2 or 3 years. They don't just come and go on a weekend or one night or one invitation. There was so much power. When I surrendered to preach and called my daddy, said, Daddy, I've surrendered to preach the gospel. He thought I'd gone crazy. That was not the son he knew. He knew a little bit of a wild son. I was a pretty good kid to my daddy. I respected my daddy, but I was on the wild side. And he could not imagine. He thought I got off into some cult. He just, that weekend, he just took off work. He and Mom drove out to Roswell, New Mexico. He wanted to see what had happened to his boy. And I took him to the church. I let him meet the pastors. I let him meet the people that were at that church. And my dad told me, he said, son, you don't know what you got. You don't know what you got. You're in a place where the Spirit of God is moving. What a blessing. They saved my soul. They delivered my life. I can say, thou hast saved me. Thou hast called me to preach. Thou hast answered my prayers. My children were saved. Thou hast blessed my preaching and my ministry. And my life is an abundant blessing. I wouldn't trade places with any person on the face of the earth, living or dead. God has just been too good to me. My dad had lived all of his life with dead churches and dead preachers and dead Christians. And he said, you don't know what you've got. And I didn't. I went there. I won I don't know how many men and women. We went after men. The assistant pastor took me visiting with him. And he would just get me in the door and say, Lendl, tell them. I'd give them a testimony. They'd fall down and cry and call on the Lord and get saved and be baptized. It went over and over and over again. I didn't know how to visit. I, with my personality, would never gotten through the doors. But this assistant pastor was smooth as glass. That guy, he was a friendly, wonderful guy. He got me in the doors. And then I was called to a church, asked me to take over a chapel. It was the chapel of the old German prisoner of war camp in Roswell. And a lot of servicemen with their families were living in these little cut-up barracks. And this church had that chapel. And they said, will you start a work there? I said, sure. So Verdine and I went out. We knocked on doors and we found families about the same age as we were, with kids galore and whatever. And by the time I got out of the military, there's about 50 people meeting every Sunday. We got saved. They got saved right and left. And then I left the Air Force and went to college. And I've gone a lot of places since. What I'm saying is, there is real revival. We can have it. And the Lord's been real good to me this week. He's let me see some things. Things I've been looking for a long time. I remember, we had our missionaries in Lyon, and they weren't doing any good. They were just disappointed and discouraged. And so we decided to have a fasting and prayer meeting. And a bunch of us from here and a bunch of missionaries down there, about 18 or 20 of us, I guess. I'm not sure about the amount. And we went out to this little village that didn't have any electricity for anybody, not that building or anything else. And we were fasting. We were praying. Didn't take but one night. That first night, as we were talking together, I don't remember who did it. Somebody took us to the verse, seek ye my face. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek ye my face. And we began to seek the Lord in prayer. Just normal people, with preachers. All of us were preachers pretty well. And that night, there was a joy and there was a confidence. We just closed down the meeting. But no, since then, 3 days, we already had our answer. And they went back to Lyon, and they won an old lady, and they won people out of her family. There's 30 churches spread all over. A lot of people saved. That's a revival, and it lasted. It lasted. Nothing quite like it. You may think the type of meeting has a difference. It doesn't make a bit of difference. You may think the preacher makes a difference. I don't think it makes any difference. You may think how many tracts you pass out makes a difference. I'm not knocking preachers. I'm not knocking passing out tracts. I'm not knocking prayer meetings. I'm not knocking. I love you. A whole bunch of you are my own family. And then some of them my family's married into. I gotta love you. But I love the rest of you. I love you. I love this church. You don't know how much I love this church. When God called me here and God has led me in several ways, I never imagined we'd do what we've done. But we have. We had a revival at several places I've been. I'm not going to go over any more of them, but I just want you to know you can have a revival. You can be revived. You know what he said? Thou hast. Well, there's a logic here. If God has put me in a tremendously free country, if God has saved my soul, if God has washed me by the blood of Jesus Christ, if God has filled me with His Holy Spirit, if God has called me to His ministry, if God has blessed me, if God has saved my children, if God has blessed my churches, why won't He revive us now so we can share His joy? The answer is He will. The answer, this is what blessed me with this psalm. What is the answer? He will. Well, what are we asking for? Well, look what he said right there. He said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Why not? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Why not? Look at Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The problem is sin. The problem is not methods. The problem is not men. God can use a donkey to get his message across. If he can make a donkey talk, don't you think he can make you? Moses was slow of speech, but one of the most powerful speakers the world's ever seen. I doubt he was very interesting. I don't think he was an orator. I think he had real problems, and I think he was telling the truth when he said, "Oh Lord, don't send me down there. I'm slow of speech." He was a man of action. He wasn't a man of speech. He was a general in the armies, a prince leading the armies of Egypt. Till he was 40 years old, he was a good man, grown man. It was God. What's the difference? God. God's the difference. Always the difference. He said, behold, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We all look pretty good today. I think most of us bathed. I think we probably brushed our teeth. We're pretty presentable. You know we are? But I want you to know there is wickedness in this place. There is wickedness. Okay. We can hit the teenage girls that are committing fornication. Yeah, that's wrong. It's bad. It's ugly. And it breaks my heart every time I... But there's a lot more committing fornication than those that got pregnant and got caught. There are people living together because they want to despise God. They just want to tell God, I'm not going to listen to what you say. I don't believe what you say. We don't need a piece of paper, and we sure don't need a preacher telling us anything. There are people leaving the church because they, well, the Bible's old-fashioned. It's outdated. I've learned so much in school. Now I know everything. It's amazing what a little knowledge does. It sure puffs up. It'll puff you up so big. You'll be bragging on yourself and bragging on what you think and all that stuff. Just a little bit of knowledge. Recently, there have been some criticism, murmuring and complaining. Now, I've been doing this 53 years. I thought I'd be dead by now, and I don't know why God's kept me alive. Maybe he's got one more revival in me. Maybe I might get to walk through one more revival. I don't know. Hope so. If I'm going to hang around, I sure want a revival. Amen. Have people criticizing, complaining, calling all of us, not just me, hypocrites. Thinking the church is the problem, or I'm the problem, or somebody else is the problem. And they got a bad spirit. Now, you know, I despise a bad spirit. All of my life, I taught my kids to get over it. You got a problem? Get over it. Don't want to hear you crying. Don't want to hear you murmuring or complaining. Get up and go on. You can't change what's happened. Get over it. Susie bought me a t-shirt about get over it. Still got it. It's a little worn out, but I think it has Tweety Bird on there or something like that saying, get over it. Because that's what I taught them. And that's what I've tried to teach you. But that makes some of you mad. You don't think I'm upset about the right things. You don't think I'm important enough that my opinion matters. Probably I don't. Probably I don't. You know what I think? I think most complainers and critics aren't even worth listening to. And yet, I listen to every critic I have for 50 years. First few years, it was very hard for me to listen. I would fight them back. And I don't say I won't still fight you back. If I think you're wrong, I might tell you so. Now, some of you are afraid of me. You don't want to be told so. So you don't tell me anything. So I don't get a good feedback on what you think. I understand that. People would ask Susanna to ask me if they could borrow some chairs because they were afraid to ask me if they could borrow some chairs. I don't know why I got a hard face. When I was teaching school, I'd be sitting at my desk while they were doing some assignment and some kid would reach up and get the gum out of my mouth because my face just stared across the way and it looked like I'd caught him. Well, I sure caught him then. Soon as they reached up to get the gum out of the mouth, I had him. I'd noticed that. It's his hard face. Part of it, I believe, is my job. I think I am a junkyard dog for the Lord. And the Bible talks about dogs that won't bark. And we got a lot of them in this generation. They're barks, dogs that won't bark. I bark. And some of you don't like my barking. I preach against murmuring, complaining. Do you know how many people died in the wilderness because of murmuring and complaining? Think about it. You got 1 million people or 3 million people, and you divide that up over 40 years. They all died in the wilderness, man. They just wandered around for 40 years till all of them kicked off, and they were going to funerals every day. I don't know how many funerals every day. I can't figure in my head anymore. I got to take a pencil and paper, and I didn't do that. They died in the wilderness because of murmuring and complaining. I preach hard. I preach almost vicious against murmuring and complaining. I despise it. I despise it with a passion. I have all my life. I despise it in my children. I despise it in my students. I despise it in my church. I despise it in me. I really do. But this week, I realized that I'm murmuring against the murmurers, and I'm criticizing the critics. And I'm very intolerant of the intolerant people I know. The devil's made me just what I hate. He's made me just what I hate. I'm a pastor. Elder, bishop, pastor, overseer. I'm a judge. I'm a judge as a father, I'm a judge as a husband, and I'm a judge as a pastor. I make decisions. I have to make decisions. I make them every week. Some of them are real hard. I don't know that I know how to do that without complaining or making judgments. And yet I'm going to have to. I've been repenting since Friday. I love the Lord, and I love His church, and I love you. There is a verse in the first of 1 Corinthians. I like Corinthians. I think this church needs Corinthians because I think we're a whole lot like the Corinthians. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Christ. Oh, I like Peter. I'm of Lindell. I'm of Trinidad. I'm of Billy. I'm of Brian. Same thing. Same exact thing. You're picking and choosing who you want to follow. You're picking and choosing what you like and dislike. You have a real high opinion of your opinion. I think you have a bloated opinion of your opinion. You actually think that what you think makes a difference. Does it? Makes a difference in you. We say things are boring. Well, I don't know about you, but I've probably got 250 channels coming into my house. I probably don't watch over 20 every once in a while. The other 210 channels, I just have to get through to get to something I want to watch. Are you about that way? Now, I want you to think a minute. I can be sitting in the living room, because that's where the TV is, only in the living room. I can be sitting in the living room watching a golf game and have fun. I like it. I've played enough golf the last of my life, for the last 20, 25 years, that when I see them make a good shot, I say, yeah. And when I see them go out in the rough, I say, yeah. They're just like me. They're going to have to dig out of that rough, dig out of that sandbar, whatever. My wife will walk in and say, oh, you're going to watch golf? I'd rather watch paint dry. I like tennis. I like a lot of sports. I don't like soccer. I don't understand it. We don't like what we don't understand. That's for sure. But I can watch tennis, some of these good players, for hours. I may go to sleep part of the time, but I'm very happy while I'm snoring there. These bands. I'm sorry. I do not like modern music. I just can't stand modern music. I hate the whole thing. Boring? Boring? For me, that's boring. First of all, they don't know how to dance. Ha, da, 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 you know. Who cares? Da, 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 da. Ah! I'm going to fall here. I better be back where I can hang on the pulpit. I can't do things like that anymore. I wouldn't know a word they say if I didn't have the closed captions on. I'm about half deaf, so I don't ever take the closed captions off. I'm sitting there watching that television with the closed captions on, and I see what they say. Then I'm really upset. They sing about nothing. They sing about nothing, and the kids go so crazy. The girls come up and say, will you please sign my breast, or will you sign my butt? Man, that's boring to me. See, boring really doesn't matter. The will of God is what matters. And if a man is prophesying, and if a woman is prophesying, if a child is prophesying, if God's bringing a message through someone and you turn him off because you're bored, you missed out. Recently, not too long ago, someone got up and they preached a message and just blessed my heart. I mean, I enjoyed it and it made me repent. I actually went home that night and I repented of certain things. I said, Lord, I shouldn't be doing that. I see it, Lord. And I talked to two spiritual brothers who heard the same message. They either got nothing, absolutely nothing, or they didn't get the right message. Why? Prejudice. I like this, I don't like that. God, you can't speak to me through someone I don't like. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Most of you aren't at the open meeting, or I guess maybe most of you are. I'm thankful that you come. Some of you don't come, so you don't really know what I'm talking about. When someone stands up you don't like, you groan. Oh, I got to listen to him. Yeah, maybe you do. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God said, I'm going to give you a message. Are you going to listen to it? Nah, he's boring. Nah, he talks too long. Nah, he's too stupid. No, I don't like his... Whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever. It doesn't make any difference what reason you use. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to work through His church, but He can't work through us because we, and I'm not saying all of you, but I'm saying almost all of you, are too opinionated. That's not good. Why is it not good? Because you don't like it. That's not good. Why? Because it's not interesting. That's not good for some other reason. You have got all your picking and choosing, not just between the pastors, but between all the brothers in the church. I like her. I don't like her. I like him. I don't like him. Who cares? All of my children are different, but I love every one of them. Now, I like some things in some of them, and I dislike some things in some of them. You do too. You see, I came to the conclusion in my own heart that I, as a pastor, and I believe the other pastors, are bloated with our own opinion too. We're making too many judgment calls that shouldn't be made. We are groaning when somebody stands up because they're going to be too long, because they don't get to their point. And it's true, I wish everything were shorter in the open meeting. But God didn't give you the right to turn down the message because you don't like the messenger. That's not right. And that's my sin. And I think it's a lot of other sins. I love the Word of God. I get out on the road and I'll put a CD in, Alexander Scorby reading the book, and I just sit back and enjoy. Now that might bore you to tears, I don't know, but I enjoy. You might not want to ride with me because you'd have to listen to my music. And my music isn't like what you kind of music you like. I despise a bad attitude. I think most of life is attitude. Most of life. I'm not going to say all of life because there's more to it, but you sure mess yourself up when you let your attitude get bad. You sure mess yourself up and you say, entertain me today. Entertain me today. We're not in the entertainment business. I am not in the entertainment business. My name's not Bob Hope. I'm not John Wayne. I know it's a surprise to you. I want to say this seriously, sincerely. If you're looking for entertainment, stay home and watch the television. Don't come up here and complain. Don't come up here and make judgments. Don't come up here and say, well, I wish Brother Trinidad were preaching. I wish Brother Brian were preaching today because he's sweeter than you are, Brother Lindell. Well, he is. I wanted to kill him a few times in his life, but he is sweeter. Am I getting across to you? I think God looks down at this church. Well, let me tell you what. Let me turn to another verse. Look at 1 Peter 3, and I want all of you to turn here. Men and women, look at 1 Peter 3. And I want this to apply to men and women. Verse number 7, 1 Peter 3, 7. Likewise, he's been given a lot of instructions. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Some of you want to know why you're not getting answered to prayer at your home life. You're cussing your husband. You're cussing your wife. You're fussing. You're going around complaining all the time. He doesn't treat me right. She does not treat me right. God said love them. God said love them. He didn't say pick on them because they don't treat you right. Pay them back. Some of you are so stupid as to use sex as a weapon. Well, you just might drive a real nail in your marriage if you cut off sex and somebody gets out and gets tempted by somebody else. Or the milkman comes by and takes your place. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be plain. You need to work on a marriage. You know, a marriage is work. I know when you get married, you think it's all going to be heaven. And you think you can live on love. And for about 2 weeks, you might. Then somebody's going to have to wash a dish. Maybe if there's a couple of weeks, well, you might just let the house go. But then sooner or later, mama's going to come to visit, and you're going to have to clean that place. You're going to have to get out of bed in the morning, actually. And when you get a bunch of kids, let me tell you what, Eddie Kincaid changed my life. And Billy came along and complicated it. I'm 21, foot loose and fancy free, riding high. Man, I'm telling you, kids, responsibility. I got to pay bills for that. We can't sleep because of him or them. Boy, they change your life. Then all of a sudden, it ain't the same. And you got to rebuild it. Got to make it work. That's what a marriage is. That woman back there can be the honorest thing in the world. She's German and stubborn. Just like her mother. Not so much like her father, but a whole lot like one of her uncles. Some people know who I'm talking about. Now, if I didn't have so much grace, we'd have never made our marriage work. The truth is, we both had to work real hard. Two spoiled brats got married. Two babies of two different families, spoiled brats, given everything in the world. I thought the whole world was supposed to do what I wanted. Now, I didn't state it that way. I would not have voiced that because I didn't think it. Do you know what it says right here? He said, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, that your prayers. What is God saying? He's saying, if you don't do right in the home, I won't hear you. That's what Isaiah was saying. Wasn't that what Isaiah was saying? Well, isn't this the answer then to coming over here to Psalms 85? Thou hast, praise the Lord for everything you've given me. Now, I want revival. No. I did all those things for you in the past, but not today. Not now. Not for the last 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. Why? Why, Lord? Sin. Sin. I don't know what all your sins are. I'm probably not even sure what all mine are. But I know there's one. Friday night I stayed up late. And Friday night I repented. And I've been repenting every day since. Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. Lord, forgive me for my judgmental spirit. Lord, forgive me for looking down on your messenger, no matter how humble they may be. Lord, forgive me for being bored or dissatisfied. Lord, forgive me because I have become what I despise. You know what I think? I think a whole lot of you in the same condition. You come up here and, most people don't even like it we have four pastors. They didn't like we had three, they didn't like we had two. That's all right. They're used to going to a church where one man preaches Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all of it. I did that for 14 years. I sometimes preached 12 new messages every week. I preached on the radio every day. I can do it. I did it. It was a great deal of sacrifice for me. I had a hard time turning over my veto power to Brian Tebow and Trinidad Noyola and Bill Kincaid and Brother Taylor and at one time Brother Pemberton. But I did. I did because of what the Bible says. Plurality of elders. I believe that. I believe there's a blessing in it. Now you're making it a curse. I don't want to hear him. He's never interesting. He doesn't know as much. Who cares? You need the Spirit of God in you being willing to take his message. Despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. It didn't say, I believe probably Isaiah was a great orator. I'll bet you Amos wasn't. Zechariah certainly confuses me. I can imagine that in his day, he really confused a whole bunch of people, maybe a whole generation. So I doubt he was very interesting. Whoa, I don't understand that. Whoa, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Your attitude. Some people have left this church because we got pastors and you get a different slant from any one of the four and we just sort of take turns. We don't say you're the best preacher this week and so you can preach for 3 weeks in a row. We just take turns. I believe it's biblical. I believe it's scriptural. I believe it's right. Some of you don't come to the night meeting, not because you're old. Not because you can't drive. You can't stand to hear so-and-so get up and speak. I'm not coming again. And some of you only come when you got a message. Hey, if you don't come listen to the rest of us, I don't want to hear what you got to say. You understand me? Don't wait out three meetings and come up with a 20-minute, 30-minute sermon. I think you're the hypocrite. I don't think you're interested in the will of God or the Word of God. I think you're interested in your own pride. You don't like the open meeting, and I understand the reasons why. It took me a long time to get it working as well as it works. And it still doesn't work perfectly. But shut your mouth. shut your mouth, shut your thoughts, shut your criticisms down. God didn't call you to be the critic of the church. He didn't. He didn't call me. And I got more calling than you. I'm even the old pastor, the first pastor. Ha ha, king. But I got to get three other men to agree with me or I can't get anything done. You don't have the right to judge God's minister no matter how humble he seems. You don't have that right. Somebody stands up, you don't like the way they talk, you don't like the way they look, you don't like some of the things they do, you better listen. You better listen. Because if you don't really listen with a purpose to listen and with some grace and love in your heart to give them a break, you're going to miss the message God has for you. You're going to miss it. What happens when you miss God's message? Huh? What happens to you when you don't get what God wants you to get? Huh? What are you going to go home with? A blessing or a complaint? I despise complainers. I despise critics. You know what critics are? They're people who couldn't make it as directors. You know what most college professors and seminary professors are? They're preachers who couldn't make it as a preacher. They did not get called and surrender to become a teacher. They got called as a preacher. And they started preaching and they go to college and they go to seminary and they pastor a little while and the church kills them. They're over and over again killed. I don't care if they got two PhDs hanging on the back of the name. They can't keep a congregation going. What's going to happen to you? How are you going to get the blessing of God? Repent. You know how to have revival? I know. I'm experienced. I've been there. You get it by preaching. You get it by praying. You get it by repenting. There's no other formula in the Bible. You repent of your sins. You preach the Word of God faithfully, and you pray. That's your answer. That's what you need to do. That's what I want all of you doing. Now, I don't care if you repent first and then pray and preach. That's fine. Or you pray first and then repent and preach. Or you pray and then preach and repent. That's just get the three in there. Are you following me? It's the truth. Come in and sit down. We're not quite through yet, but you come on in and sit down. And we'll be starting our next meeting soon. No problem, about 10 minutes. You get in on the last dose of this one. If you and your wife not getting along can hinder your spiritual life so much so that God would say your praying is hindered, what do you think his body, his bride? What do you think happens to a church when they begin to bite and devour one another? What happens to a church when somebody gets so big-headed and pig-headed they think their opinion's worth more than anybody else's opinion? Oh, I know. None of you have ever done that. It's so nice to be with such spiritual people. That you just don't allow your opinion to hinder you from doing the work of God. Oh, you stupid hypocrite, you're worse than me. That's bad to be worse than me. At least I know I'm a sinner in this area. I'm a sinner. I'm a wicked sinner. I don't know really what to do about it, but preach and pray and repent. I don't know anything else. It's the answer. Sooner or later, if you get the things right, God will move. God will hear your prayers. God will do a work through you. God will do a work around you. You'll be sitting in amazement as God does and touches people. You'll see somebody, you preach on money and they'll get saved. You preach on salvation, they'll start giving. You think it's you. I was a full-time evangelist for 3 years. I had a lot of revival meetings before that. I held up to 12 revivals a year when I pastored a church here in San Antonio for about 3 years. Then I went to full-time evangelism and traveled all over the country preaching in churches. And I had some good revivals and I had some stinkers. I had some of them where I preached 4 times a day, 5:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon, 7:30. For 2 weeks straight in a row. I carried 100 outlines with me. I didn't make many new sermons while I'm preaching every day and visiting every day and trying to keep up with different pastor schedules. I had 100 outlines with me, probably 20. I used more than any others. Like if I had a 1 week meeting somewhere where I just preached at nights, it'd probably be out of that 20. Unless I felt led because of some other something. I begin to look upon those sermons, as some of them, as really being powerful. Boy, that's a good sermon. Boy, preach that message. Start the meeting off with that one. Boy, you'll just... And God's been having a hard time humbling me for all these 74 years. But just about as sure as I said, okay, tonight's the night for the sugar stick. Yes, all right, I'm going to blow them out of the saddle. I'm going to run them down the aisles tonight. I would fall flat on my face. God said, it isn't your message, son. It isn't your message. Your message is not what brings them to me. Your message doesn't have that much power. It's God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now you can resist it all you want to and God will humble you. I was in evangelism and, you know, I never was a clothes horse, but I used to work at a clothing store downtown when I was in high school. It was right next door to us was an expensive clothing store. Well, gradually while I was in evangelism, I began to replace my suits with real nice ones. Nice sport coats, mad, mohair, whatever, you know. I look pretty good. You might have heard of the Christian Jew. Anybody here ever heard of the Christian Jew? Yeah. He's a good preacher. He was on the radio for years and years and years. Well, he called me up one time when I come back in from a revival meeting, and I had a week at home, and he said, Lendell, let me take you out to eat. I said, okay. So I met him downtown, and I had put 6 suits, sport coats and suits, into the cleaners. On my way downtown, I took them out and hung them in the back of my car. I went into Luby's. We had lunch. I didn't have a thing left to wear but what I had on. The suit I had on was all I had left. I didn't have money. I never made money as an evangelist. I'd go anywhere for whatever they gave me. I never put a demand on anybody anywhere, and I never split a church. And I never tried to knock down the pastor, no matter how poor I thought he was. Because no matter if they wanted to come call me and say, we want you to come and pastor us now. I said, no, you wouldn't like me. You'd be wanting to get rid of me in 6 months. Like you want to get rid of this guy? Average preacher stays in the pulpit 3 years. That's there. Guys that last 37 years, they're very unusual. Guys that last 40 years like George W. Pruitt, man. In a church like that? Wow. Something unusual there. God humbled me. I had to go out and on a credit card buy 6 suits. I went out to a cheap place because I sure couldn't afford the kind I lost. And I bought suits that didn't fit me, never did feel comfortable, looked like a bum. Talk about looking like a hick, I looked like a hick for a while. God trying to humble me. You start trying to seek the will of God, don't brag on your car. God might think that's too much like an idol for you. Be careful how you let your kids hinder you doing the will of God. I don't have much more time. But I'll tell you what I believe. I'm convinced of it. So much so, but like I said, I've been doing a lot of repenting. I wondered why God's left me alive. I should have been dead already. 50% of people who have a heart attack, the first heart attack kills them. 50%. That's a pretty big bunch. I've had a brother-in-law and a cousin. That's just the way they died. Boy, boom. They were dead. Didn't have any chance to repent and do some other things. I got to thinking last night, just maybe, God will let me see one more revival. I want you to start praying. I want you to start repenting. If you don't know how to do it, get in practice. Find out anything you know you're wrong. I know you've got sin. And especially this sin of a judging spirit. We have got to stop a judging spirit. We cannot afford a judging, a murmuring and complaining spirit. While somebody's preaching the Word of God, you're saying, no. Get over it. Amen. Repent. Three things. You preach, you pray, and you repent. And God might just have mercy.